Lord Jesus, thank you for this faithful servant of yours, Lord Jesus. Thank you that he's here with us and that you've put something on his heart. And I pray that each of us would hear your word to us through this man of faith. In Jesus' name,
amen. Thank you.
Well, it's good to be with you. And I'm going to speak about listening to God, waiting upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and gaining strength to live the Christian life. I'm reading from Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, there are various ways in which we can wait upon the Lord. We can be in our prayer time on our own or with someone. We can be reading the Bible and meditating upon it and learning all about what the Lord is doing and has done. And so there's a fellowship with one another, as we're having this morning, and praising the Lord Jesus in song. We're very blessed to have good musicians, and you're very good on your voices. I enjoy listening to you. Waiting in silence is a good thing when the Lord speaks to us. There are so many ways which we can wait upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And we as Christians, we should always find a time to wait upon the Lord, so that we can walk in faith and not faint. We can run in faith and not be weary. We can also endeavor to fly in our faith, searching for the Holy Spirit thermals. And we can stretching out our wings to the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. We take us to new heights in the fellowship, and new heights into the knowledge of God. He equips us to fly in the spiritual wings in the power and the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jeremiah 49, verse 22, it says, to fly like the eagle. Well, an eagle flies very high in the sky with little effort, really, on its part, and it's resting on the heat thermals. It looks for those. And it searches for the heat thermals so it can go very, very high. It stretches out its wings and it soars high. Now, I like eagles. I've studied them a little bit. But I wondered, when I thought about this verse of Scripture, I wondered, what does the Bible say about eagles? So I searched in the Bible, and I found some interesting things which really blessed me. You can't chart the flight of an eagle in a storm with the naked eye. You need a transmitter on it, fitted to the eagle to know where he's going. An eagle makes miles in the storm. That's the thing, you see. When a storm comes, the eagle's very happy. He gets out into it. Now, in Job 39 and 28, it says about eagles, on the rock it dwells and resides, on the crag of the rock and the stronghold. The eagle dwells on the rock in a strong place. It nests on the rock. It always returns to the rock. And when injured, it returns to the rock and it lies down and it opens its wings and its body gets healed. The eagle can't make it without the rock. It can't manage without it. And you know, in 2 Samuel 22, 2-3, it says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength, and in whom I put my trust. You see, we can't manage without the Lord, which is Christ Jesus. And our salvation is our security and everything. He meets our every need. He will restore us when we're not well, when our body's failing. And he will. I think someone's got a problem down there. Thank you, Lord. Where am I? Jesus is our rock and salvation, and our salvation, our security, our everything. I thank him for all everything in my life. He has restored healing in my body, and he's helped me. But he does that. He can heal our body and heal our mind and soul. We must make our nest high as like the eagle, above the circumstances. There is an eagle called the snake eagle. This is an interesting one. And he makes his nest above the snake line, because a snake can only go a certain altitude for some reason. This eagle feeds on snakes of all kinds, including the poisonous ones. The snake eagle dwells in a safe place above the snake line, and he therefore is very safe, and his nest is not attacked by the snake. This particular eagle lives above the danger of the snake presence, and therefore he rests in security. Now we should be way above the devil and tell him where to go. Now Job 39, verses 28 and 29 says this about the eagle. On the rock it dwells and resides. On the rock and it is a stronghold. From there it spies out its prey. Its eyes observe from afar. And you know, the eagle has a wonderful eyesight. It's many, many times better than ours. It has good eyesight. And it can look at vast distances. And apparently you can see all in one go, 2 miles square. It's so very good on its vision. Now the eagle has a twofold vision. Amazing. For it can look upwards and forwards at the same time as it looks forward and downwards at the same time. It is therefore not blinded as it flies in the sky, and also it knows where it's going. You know, we too need to have the twofold vision. We have to have a vision to the Lord in heaven, and we have to have a vision towards our neighbour. Now, if either of those visions are not in good order, we've got a few problems. So we've got to make sure that we have the right vision to the Lord and to one another. Now, when this eagle catches a snake, it doesn't kill it straight away. No, it doesn't. It catches it behind the head, neck, and even with a poisonous one, and it goes back to the rock. And what it does, it has the snake in its hand, and doing like that, kills the snake. I reckon we should get a bit rough with all the devil, shouldn't we? Yeah. Hey? We should say, in the name of Jesus, get away. I remember, he used to have come here, what's your father's name?
Trevor.
Hey?
Trevor? My dad?
No, your granddad.
Oh, Jim.
Yeah. Well, Jim used to go to the couch place nearby, but he used to say to me, what I do, he said, I stand the floor. I said, get out of the way with you. And he was like, okay, I'm doing it. Marvellous. Now I'm getting a bit lost there. When the eagle catches a snake, it strikes it. The eagle does not take chances, you know, and we shouldn't take chances with the devil. We should tell him where to go. And this is what James 4 verse 7 says. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If we do that in the right way, it will happen. Also, in the name of Jesus, we must always do that. We should claim healing when we want the victory over circumstances. Now in Psalm 103, verse 5, it says the youth is renewed like an eagle. Young eagles are very, very cared for. They're warm in their nest. They have had a fluffy nest made of twigs and feathers and down, and they're fed regularly. They are very much in a comfort zone, well protected and in a safe place. We too, as Christians, get into a comfortable position in our Christian faith. We're happy to be saved, sometimes not wanting to leave our comfort zone and get into the world and tell people about Jesus. But listen what it says in Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. As the eagle stirs the nest, hovers over its young, spreading its wings, taking them up and carrying them on his wings. You see, the mother eagle decides that it's time that the youngster should fly at some point in the eagle's life. This is time for him to fly so he can stir. So what does she do, the mother? She stirs up the nest. She literally destroys it. And now the little eagle is hurting. The sticks are pricking him and the feathers have gone and it's cold. And when he goes to look at the rock, I'm not going to do what I'm doing. Wow, he's frightened. He no longer does this eagle feel comfortable or secure. In fact, he feels very unsafe. It feels uncomfortable and he doesn't want to leave the comfort zone. It wonders what is happening to him. Does mom not like me? Does dad not like me? Are they going to try to throw me away? Well, he's not far wrong. Because you see, the time comes when he has to leave the nest and he's not keen to leave. His mother does something drastic, quite horrendous. She comes to him and he pushes him out of the nest and he's going down towards the rocks. And he makes all sorts of noises. This young eaglet, he's going down the cliff face, down and down he goes, and he panics. Oh, I can't fly. And he falls further, and he's always getting really upset. But you know, the rocks below are approaching fast, and the mother is right alongside him. And just in time before he hits the rocks, she flies under him and catches him on her back. Now, this little eagle is enjoying it. He's on his mother's back. He's looking around and he's really chuffed. But his feathers are slightly ruffled, but he feels great. He looks around and he thinks, oh, wow, what a view. This is great. So now his mother soars higher and higher. And wow, it happens. He's tipped again. Now he's in fresh air. He's going down 24 feet per second. And wow, he flips him over and he flaps his wings and he panics again. He can't, oh dear me, what have I done? I sometimes wonder, do we as Christians, when we're in our uncomfortable state, do we have that problem? Do we feel as if we're falling? Do we feel as if we can't fix it? Do we feel as if, does God love me? And then we're asking ourselves all sorts of questions. Will I get well? Am I saved? I wonder. See, in our difficult times, we say all sorts of things. But back to this little eagle, he's falling, and he's still panicking a bit. But mum saves him again, and then catches him on her back. Now, she takes him higher. The mother does this a number of times. However, the little eagle notices that his mum doesn't do what he does. And he thinks, well, she just sticks her arms out. So next time the slip comes, this little eagle sticks his arms out. What do you think happens? He flies. He looks around. Oh, does all sorts of trips in the field. He's fantastically pleased. The young eagle can fly. He feels a new creation. Wow, what a difference he feels. And suddenly he can fly, and what a fantastic sensation it is. There is no way he wants to go back into the nest. He feels free and literally so happy that he can fly. My friends, sometimes we feel we need to operate outside our comfort zone, because I feel that when we are doing that outside, we're not operating in our own strength, we're operating in God's strength. And then great results can happen. People can be reached for the Lord. Jesus Christ, as we move out into to witness, having divine appointments, meeting people. Life can be changed for people as we share the good news of God in a way that is simple and they can respond to. As we witness that the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of Jesus, our Saviour. We don't do calling, we just sow the seed. My desire in life is to witness to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and to present the gospel to all the ones I get a chance to meet. My wife and I used to do it together, but now I'm doing it on my own. We cannot work for our salvation. It's a gift from God. But when we do receive that gift, then we can sow the seed of God's love in the hands, in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of owning my Lord to the people I meet. Dear Christian friends, who is willing to wait to the Lord and renew their strength in the point where they will be like the eagle? They will walk and not faint. They shall run and not be weary. But they and they'll be able to witness to people because they're flying high in the Spirit of God. The time is short, the harvest field is full, the seed sowers are few. Let us move out of our comfort zone and reach out to the lost people in our nation and in the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be eagle Christians, operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to increase our waiting upon the Lord Jesus in our quiet time, in our praising the Lord and the meeting together and praying. Reading and meditating on the Word of God as we seek the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When we do that, we will become renewed in strength. I just want to tell you a simple thing that happened to me. You know, when I get difficulties, I'm looking for expectation of a divine appointment. I was going down south and I went to the railway station at Carlisle, and the trains weren't running because there'd been an accident on the line. So what they did, they may give me a seat on the east line. So I got there, I got to Manchester, got the case out, Winnie was with me. And we're going to sit, and there's a bloke sat in my seat, and the muscles on him were unbelievable. He'd take his shirt off, and he only had a vest on. And I didn't know what to do. You know, I thought, is he going to clout me when I ask him? So I said to him, excuse me, sir, you're sat in my seat. He looked at me. I thought, I'm in for it. Then he said, sit down. So I sat down. So anyway, I said to him, my word, you've got a good body. I said, I wouldn't like to meet you in the dark alley and sort of have a go with you. Oh, he said, well, he said, I've got these muscles, he said, because my mother was beaten by my father every day. And I was determined to get strong to sort him out. So he said, but what I did, I stabbed him. So I got put in jail. Now, when he made me a cup of tea and a sandwich, and she asked him, would you like a cup of tea and a sandwich? He said, oh, yes. So he got it. Well, he became very open and talking to me. And he was saying, you know, he must have enjoyed the sandwich very well, because this is what he did. He stood up, he put his arms like this, and he shouted, no one will touch you, boy. Oh, he was Welsh, you see. He said, I'd die for you. I said, you'd die for me? I said, you know, can I tell you, someone died for you? Hey, who died for me? I said, well, Jesus. Oh, I've heard about Jesus, yes. How did he die for me? So I told him. Anyway, Winnie, bless her, under the table, a little Bible. Ah, I said, well, I've got a little Bible here, goes, tell you about Jesus. And I told him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, where are you going to go when you go, when you die? Are you going to go down to where it's about, ooh, it's hot down there? Or are you going to go to heaven where it's going to be something fantastic? Ooh, he didn't want to go that down there. So anyway, he started reading this book. And he said to me, do you know, he said, it's a lovely book, this. He said, can I buy it? I said, no, it's a gift through me from God. Oh, very good. So he read it, and then he said, do you know, my son's worse than I ever was. I said, isn't he really? He said, he could do one of these books. So Winnie, under the table. So anyway, the thing is, I used to have his email and talk to him. And he rang me one night and said, thank you for that book. It's a great help, you know. He's given one this one. Now, the point is this, you see. Who is going to tell these people if no one tells them? Our responsibility is not to keep it to ourselves, but to be prepared to move out of our comfort zone. And you know, you don't have to worry. Because It's amazing. Now, I must tell you this last one. I got stung all on my face, all down my shoulder, all my arm. I was blowing the leaves out to the dry, and I disturbed the wasp nest. I went to the chemist, they wouldn't treat me. I said, there's no doctor. They sent me to the hospital. Went to the hospital. But when I'm going into the hospital, I didn't park in the car park. I parked in a 2-hour spot. And when I'm walking in, there's this woman. And so I thought, can I risk it? I said, I'm glad I'm not like you, or having to smoke a cigarette like that. It wouldn't do me any good. Oh, she said, I wish I could pack in. Just the thing I wanted. I know who can tell you and help you to pack up your cigarettes. She said, who's that? I said, Jesus. Oh, she said, I'm a Catholic. I go to church. I said, do you have a Bible? No, no, no. So I showed her the Bible, and I prayed for her. And when I prayed, there was tears in her eyes. She said, no one's ever prayed for me like that. So when she was walking away, I shouted, Mary, when you're packing your cigarettes, don't thank that crazy man at the hospital. Just give praise to God. Anyway, I went to the hospital, come out, and I thought she's there, still there, but it was someone else. So I thought, can I try it again? So I said, I couldn't do that. Same thing as before. Oh, she said, I love smoking. I thought, where do we go from here? So I said, well, are they dear? Oh, yes, they're very expensive. I said, how much are they? She told me. I said, do you know, if you packed up for a year, you go on a cruise. Oh, I never thought of that. I said, anyway, I said, I'd like to give you a little book. So I gave her a book and I prayed for her. And she said that she'd never been prayed for like that. So I said, whatever her name was, that when you get better, you don't want to have cigarettes, don't thank that crazy man. Thank God. All I'm trying to say, I'm not trying to boast about my experience of giving the Bible out. But what I'm trying to say to you, there's nothing better. It's a lovely feeling to give a Bible out to someone and then to find out that it's had an effect of bringing them to Christ. So, this is the time. And the time is very short. This is the place. We are the people to reach those around us who are lost. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Praise the Lord. Amen.